Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Nerd Nest podcast. We are doing this one live because we couldn't get together this weekend and record it. So there's already a whole bunch of people here for the live show. And for that, I wanted to thank everybody for coming out and hanging out with us. Today, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And we've got Rich and Russ and Carrie here and lots of stuff to cover. But, you know, if you looked at the thumbnail, you probably saw that there's still some questions out there about the OLED version of the Steam Deck. So we figured we would take some time and answer the questions that everybody has. If you have questions, throw them in chat. And if we see them, I mean, there's already over 100 people here. So chat will be flying by really fast. But if we see the answer or the questions, we will try and get to them. Rich, you put a whole bunch of issues that people, you kind of compiled a bunch of issues that people have been talking about and put them into our show notes. And like, why don't you pick one and explain what it is that that people are running into, and then we'll have a quick little discussion about it.
Yeah. So there are various issues that are going on. Some are OLED specific, but I think there's at least one that maybe other people are experiencing as well. I think the first one to probably cover is just the Wi-Fi connectivity. So that one would be OLED specific and would have to do with the latest network adapter. But basically, some people are encountering, as the title in the forum thread says, absurd Wi-Fi connection issues, where either they're not able to force the 5 gigahertz or they just can't connect to their Wi-Fi router. So just various issues, and rebooting is not helping. Some people went through recovery. So yeah, that's a weird one. I don't know. Should I just go through all of these real quick? What do you think?
Well, I think we could take them one at a time. So, you know, you mentioned the Wi-Fi issue. The new OLED Steam Deck has a brand new Wi-Fi chip in it, which is Wi-Fi 6 instead of Wi-Fi 5. To me, that makes absolutely no difference because my home network is Wi-Fi 5. So I can't really take advantage of that. Does anybody in our panel here have Wi-Fi 6 in their house? Carrie's nodding yes. Carrie, have you run into speed issues with the Steam Deck OLED?
No, no. So I have Wi-Fi 5 down where I am right now, and it's right over there. So I always connect to that just because the Wi-Fi 6 that we have, the mesh network that we have, is a floor and two floors up. But no, I don't experience any issue on either one of those. The only issue that I've had is that the Steam Deck has a very large preference for wanting to glob onto the Wi-Fi 6 network, despite it having less signal. So it's like, oh, that's the Wi-Fi 6. I want to go onto that one. I'm like, no, that's going to be worse for you. You want to go to that one. There's no one on it. So that's the only thing that I've noticed, is that it has a very real preference for wanting to choose Wi-Fi 6 routers.
Okay. So people were, what were the complaints, Rich?
So they were all over the place. Like slower download speeds. Some people had slower, like they were being throttled. Some people weren't able to connect to their router at all. And some people weren't able to force the 5 gigahertz. They just kept connecting to the 2.4 gigahertz band.
All right. So I mean, Carrie's run into an issue where he can't really control which one it's trying to connect to, especially if you, like Carrie, your network, you have both networks, but they're the same network? Or
no,
are they two different networks?
I bifurcate them. So the SSIDs are, I manually strip out all of the radios on there and specify them, even though the mesh wants to kind of combine them into a singular SSID. I do it just for optimization purposes. For instance, like on my Oculus Quest 2 and now the 3, I put the Oculus Quest or any of those types of headsets on the on their own radio, on their own 5 gigahertz radio, for things like AirLink, where you can do AirLink to a PC to stream, you know, play, use the VR headset as it's a wireless headset. It's a wired PC to the its own wireless thing. So that's what I do. So I bifurcate all the radios into their own SSIDs.
Okay. So maybe that's something that people can do. Although if you ask me, like, that's not something that the average consumer should have to worry about. If they're advertising that it has Wi-Fi 6, then, you know, it should connect to the Wi-Fi 6 network without people having to jump through hoops. But I feel like the number of people who actually have access to Wi-Fi 6 in their house is probably fairly minimal. And if you're having trouble, I would definitely say reach out to Valve and say, hey, what's going on here? What can I do? Maybe you got a dud. Whenever you make thousands upon thousands of things, some of them are going to be bad ones. And that's just like with my PlayStation Portal, which we may talk about later on in the show, because I have some more. I have an update for everybody on that. All right. Rich, what was the next issue?
Yep. And real quick, before we go to the next issue, someone, DayYP, asked, is the battery life that much different between the original and the older Steam Deck? So I assume they mean between the OLED and the LCD Steam Deck. And in my experience, yeah, it's the advertisement for like 50% difference in battery life is pretty much correct as far as my testing goes.
Russ, is that something that you've been running into as well? The crazy improvement in battery life with the OLED version?
Yeah, it's like no longer an issue. You know, it's got to that point where it's like actually hit the threshold where I actually enjoy it, you know, where I'm not worrying about what's going on later and do I have enough battery life to play. It always just kind of fits my session. And so that's been perfect for me. It's not perfect, but it's still definitely a lot better and markedly improved. Like I can tell it's no longer a device I feel like I have to charge every single night. I just kind of wait till it gets a little bit low and then I charge it, which is a great place to be in.
Yeah, when I'm using mine, it depends on what game I'm going to play. Like I sat down to play, I can't remember the name of it. Risk of Rain Reunion, Risk of Rain. I can't remember.
Like the remake of the original.
Yeah, yeah. And like that's not a super heavy game to play. So like I looked at my battery and I was like, oh, I'll be fine. But then I also, because we had the autumn sale, which we might want to talk about any games that we bought on the autumn sale later on in the video. I looked up and I was going to play Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I could have been playing on my PlayStation, but I decided to pick it up for the Steam Deck, especially because I think that series looks really good in OLED. So I really like the dark and the dark colors and the very bright. Or the dark blacks and the very bright colors. So I ended up picking that up again. And I looked at that and I was like, oh, I better charge it before I play this game. So for me, it all depends on what game you're going to be playing. But to answer their question, holy cow, it's such a huge improvement. Carrie, how much extra battery life do you feel like? You did actual battery tests, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what were your results?
Yeah, depending on what you're going to get, you're going to get anywhere from 40 to 50% greater battery life, depending on whatever the task is, right? Like whatever the game is, generally speaking, inside of the range of 40 to 50%. This is twofold compounded with how the SoC is drawing power on top of the 25% additional capacity, battery capacity on the newer Steam Deck OLED. So those two together are creating the 40 to 50% battery gain that we're getting compared to the old LCD model, which, again, this is something that I've talked about before and I feel is worthwhile pointing out, even though a lot of people don't generally feel this way, that looking at gains from a battery life perspective isn't a generational improvement. But I think collectively we all agree when we're using it, especially how Russ is saying he doesn't even care if he charges anymore. This is entering into a realm of like traditional handhelds. Like you're just using it and you're just kind of like going around and it has this like epic battery life, especially with like how standby works on it. It's just, you're using it how a classic handheld is being used, which is unreal for a PC gaming handheld.
Yeah. Right. Cause you're not constantly running into that wall that we're always running into. You said that there's, you know, the increase of the watt hours for the battery went from 40 to 50 watt hours. And then the OLED panel sips the battery a lot less because there's no backlight. One of the things that Valve pointed out, I can't remember who was interviewing them, but they were talking about this. They said that the improved clock speed of the RAM allows the CPU to wind down faster, and that allows it to use less battery as well. And I'm curious, there's going to be later on in the show, if there's time, I want to talk about the Legion Go real quick, because there's a firmware update that will allow you to change the clock speed that you're utilizing the RAM for. And I wonder if that means that that's going to get a boost in battery life too. But right now I want to stay focused on the Steam Deck. What were the other issues, Rich, that people were running into?
A couple people have called them out already in the comments. So Mohammed Kabaj pointed out many people ordered the Steam Deck OLED LE and found dead pixels because Valve used a, he said because Valve used a very low quality screen panel from BOE. I don't know how, what the quality from BOE is versus Samsung. I do know that that does seem to be the common factor, right? Like the Samsung panels, which a lot of people have said are kind of an offshoot of the Switch panel, has seen fewer issues. But there are two panels being used in the OLED model, the Samsung panel and the BOE panel. And it seems like the BOE has some more issues, and the BOE appears to be more common in the LE, the limited edition Steam Deck. So oh. I actually haven't checked to see for my LE, which panel I have. I did check to see if I have any dead pixels, and I didn't see any with the test. But I don't know if I have the BOE or I have the Samsung.
Did Carrie, Russ, did either of you guys run that command that tells you if you're running was it Samsung is the other one? Samsung or the other one?
Samsung or BOE.
Okay. So Russ, did you run that?
I didn't run it, no.
What about you, Carrie?
I don't want to run it. I just want to imagine in my head that I got a good one. It's like, it once I, it's the Schrodinger's cat problem, right? It could be any of them. As long as I don't look at it, I don't care.
It's alive and dead.
As soon as I push the button, it says BOE. It's like a dead pixel is going to pop right in front of my view. I'm like, there it is.
So right now, Carrie has both. Actually, all four of us have both the Samsung panel and the BOE panel in one Steam Deck. That's the way that it works. If you do want to run that command, I'm going to say be wary running commands if you don't know what they do, okay? But if you want to run that command, you can obviously find out what the command is and run it, and it's going to bring up like some numbers on your screen, and those numbers are going to tell you which panel that you have. But you know, if you want to just be blissfully ignorant about which panel you have, then that's probably the way to go. I don't know that it really matters all that much if you're looking at your panel and you're like, man, it looks pretty good. Speaking of pixels, a couple of us had somebody send messages. And they sent us a message and they were like, hey, can you look at your panel and see if you see a slightly red color on the left of writing and a slightly green color on the right of writing? And I checked mine. I didn't notice it without like pulling out my phone and getting like really close to the panel and zooming in. But I absolutely did see that. And I guess that's something that a lot of people don't like. But it doesn't bother me even a little. Russ, did you look at your sub pixels, I guess, up close to see if you're seeing that red fringes on the left and green fringes on the right?
I didn't specifically test for that, but I did use my macro lens for a bunch of shots that I took in my screen comparison video. And I don't know, I showed some text there. I don't remember seeing any red green offset at all. It looked pretty good to me under the view. So,
what about you, Rich?
You're asking if I tested. No, I didn't see that issue. So like the red green, is it like a haze or something?
It's less a haze. I'm going to try and find the picture so I can put it on screen. It's less of a haze and more like the pixel layout. So you got, you know, red, blue, green, like right next to each other over and over. And people are saying that on the left-hand side, they can see the red, and on the right-hand side, they can see the green. Now, I'm going to see if I can put this on my screen or not. So while I'm doing that, Carrie, did you look at this, and did you see this issue at all?
No. So this is the subpixel arrangement of the panel itself.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I'm not. There's nothing that has stood out to me in any particular view that I'm looking for from the Steam Deck. I've seen a bunch of people post different stuff that seem to be oddities with how Steam OS itself is being displayed. For brief moments, there'll be a line that is distinctly being visible. So there's probably something that's going on there that they need to, for instance, the download. When you're looking at your download window and you're just seeing the graph, periodically there will be just a line that is going down. More will actually posted about this.
Hmm. So for those of you who are watching right now, if you look over on the left-hand side of this one, you can see that the left-hand side of the one has red displayed, and on the right-hand side of the one, it has green displayed. And that's the thing that this user had pointed out to me. And so, sure enough, when I looked, I was like, yep, I totally see it. To me, it doesn't bother me, but they were seeing it, and that's why they looked. What were you saying, Carrie?
So I've been following OLED. I've been on OLED for life, boy, for since 2003. I've been waiting for OLED to take over for 20 years now. So back in 2003 is when I was really hot on OLED. And at the time, the big problem with OLED was the blue phosphor, the blue diode itself, would have a shorter half-life compared to the other diodes. This could be that what we're looking at is that the red and green are going full blast, and there is some pixel subpixel arrangement algorithm that's running that is differentiating the intensity of them to save the half-life on the blue phosphor, just so that the panel degrades, so that it doesn't have it doesn't have any type of image retention issues. To prevent image retention issues is most likely the case that I would say that you're seeing this fringing issue that you're seeing from there. But that's the only thing that I would just say as a guess, is that this is more than likely, because we know that they're not using any pentile display and it is actually full RGB, that the blue one, based on how it's arranged and how it's being emitted, especially from the white font that you showed and where mm-hmm. it was edging, I would wager that this is the case.
Yeah. And I got to say, naked eye, I don't see it. Somebody said, don't put your nose up to the screen and you're not going to see this kind of thing. And I'm there with you. I didn't notice this at all until the person reached out and they said, hey, are you seeing this? And which display do you have? So I looked and I was like, yeah, I'm seeing it. I don't really care which display I have. So I moved on. But I just wanted to, I was just wondering if you guys ran into that at all.
We all have jeweler's loops. We're all just busting them out.
Everybody kind of does when they got their phones. You can just put your phone up to something and they're crazy good cameras, you know? All right. Any other, you do have a jeweler's loop?
No, I just like that idea better than using our phone.
Okay. Rich, any other issues that people were talking about that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, a few, but real quick, there were some questions. I'll shout them out real quick. So
yeah.
Ezekiel asked, have any of us put Windows on the Steam Deck OLED yet? Want to know how Modern Warfare 3 would run. Does it hit 90 hertz in multiplayer? So I have it, but I know that the Windows drivers aren't ready, right? Audio is not ready, I believe. Is that right, Carrie?
Wi-Fi is not. Yeah, so Wi-Fi audio. You basically need to... it's the same problem that the Steam Deck originally had. Wi-Fi worked, but you had to go through a way. I haven't tried doing it. You can get the cats on Microsoft's repo themselves and force install them. That was for Wi-Fi only. Audio didn't work at all. But I know someone that did it and they have a Wi-Fi dongle that they're using. So they loaded the driver through the Wi-Fi dongle to get that working. Otherwise, they'd have to use Bluetooth at that point to get audio working. So it's a bit of a mess to do that, but Windows on Steam Deck isn't great.
Would you say?
Windows on Steam Deck isn't great, especially because I'm aware, the HDR implementation is something that Valve is doing explicitly through GameScope and stuff, and it's not working on Windows, but I haven't looked at it.
Yep.
Real quick, I want to share something that Shrek, it's a funny name, the way he spelled it. He says, or she, how's the new Bluetooth chip, especially with connecting multiple controllers? That's been an issue with my OG deck. I haven't tried to connect multiple controllers at the same time, but it, like, everybody else will answer that question in a second if they've been trying that. I have a question that this reminded me of. Has any of you been able to get the Steam Deck to wake from a controller? Because I was told that that was something that would work, and mine won't.
It's here now.
Is it maybe there was an update and I just haven't had a chance this weekend?
Yeah, so it was not available pre-release, but it works now. So I've tested it on the limited edition and my other OLED. It works on both. Still, obviously, would not work on the LCD model, but I tested it anyway, just hoping against hope. It's available now. If you update your Steam Deck OLED to the latest, it should work for you.
All right, very, very cool. Because I tried it, and I was really disappointed that it didn't work, but I did not touch my Steam Deck all weekend because it was like very heavily family focused this weekend because it's Thanksgiving here in the States. So I didn't really have a chance. All right. Yeah. Awesome.
I haven't had a chance to test multiple controllers. Someone recommended I connect as many controllers as I could and see where it starts to lag. I haven't done that test yet, but the Bluetooth is noticeably better with audio. And so I assume it's going to be better with controllers too. That's just, again, something I haven't sat down to test. But with audio, I was playing Hi-Fi Rush and Spin Rhythm XD, and both of those games for me were unplayable on the Steam Deck LCD using Bluetooth earbuds. There's still latency, right? It's still Bluetooth, but it is playable now. I would say audio, like music games, rhythm games, are now playable on the Steam Deck OLED using Bluetooth.
All right, that's awesome. I had this control, this ridiculous speaker. I hooked up this ridiculous speaker to the OG Steam Deck, right? This thing is stupid looking, but I think, well, it's cool looking, but man, it's also stupid. It sounds fantastic. I hooked it up to the Steam Deck because I wanted to see how bad the delay was. And on the original Steam Deck, it was just garbage. It was so far behind. I tried hooking it up to the new Steam Deck, and I couldn't. This is a fault of this thing, I think, not the Steam Deck. I couldn't get it to let go of my phone. Like, it won't let go of my phone. It's just, like, I can't get it to forget that connection, and it can't connect to multiple things. So eventually, I ended up just cutting that out of my review because I wasn't able to test it because my stupid Bluetooth speaker wouldn't work. So I was just like, I'm not going to use Bluetooth with it anyway. But it's nice to hear that it's an improvement.
Some people said I'm capping. Go ahead. I see that CT native. Some people said I'm capping. It's not playable, which, you know, it's down to your preference for sure.
Capping?
not being honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Listen, people, I am a grandfather. You can't talk like that with me.
That's why this is the dad cast.
That's right. Somebody said that they were simping for the dad cast, which was really awesome. Blue Broham, thank you so much for the super chat. You're awesome. All right. Other issues, Rich.
Static in the earbuds. So if you're using wired earbuds, wired connection, some people are reporting like a static buzzy feedback noise on the OLEDs. I don't know if this is, I can't tell if this is widespread or not. I haven't had a chance to test it actually, but I have seen some forum posts about it.
I've worn headphones with it, you know, to test out. I've had no static issues at all. Russ, have you had any static issues with your headphones or did you not test that?
I haven't used the 3.5 millimeter jack. I've used like my X-Real glasses, you know, which again is a different jack and no issues there or anything. So,
what about you, Carrie? Any issues?
No, I go raw. I just get the straight speakers.
We don't need that information, Carrie.
Listen, Carrie goes raw. It's all right with me.
No cap, right?
Yeah. the comments are great. Someone said, "Nerds, that is on fleek." They called us the Batty Cast. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Is that the last of the issues?
I saw one about the frequency of the panel and some of them being omitted.
Is that the 1040 megahertz?
That's the 70 hertz not being present on all OLED decks. It could really? Also be
weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not there.
That's weird.
You know, one thing I saw on Reddit the other day, and I haven't really talked about it just because I think it's a little bit dangerous, but people are overclocking these LCD panel or OLED panels to see how fast of a refresh rate they can get. Some people are getting like 130 hertz. I do not recommend that for anybody, but man, 120 would have been great. But
yeah, mine goes from 72 to shutting off because I didn't do anything fast enough. It goes from 72 to 68.
Yeah.
You know
why would I do that? Can somebody explain that to me?
So Valve, when the LCD panel that Valve picked, they chose the LCD panel specifically because it had a variety of factors that they wanted it to do. They had a bunch of different panels that they can buy, but they went with the one that they went because of the frequency that it could scale to. The OLED panel that they're going to is limited to the smaller amount of providers that can give it to them. As such, they vetted all the frequencies, and this is what they're comfortable giving. Speaking to the Reddit thread that Russ was talking about, I commented on it as well because they were also, the person who was doing it saying that VRR should be possible. And as far as I'm aware, it isn't, but this person seems to know way more about it than I do. For me, there's multiple problems with it, is that it's a MIPI panel and they don't support VRR. Additionally, there is a converter chip in there that is into how I've always interfaced with those is they have their own tables that are doing translations. So whatever's in that table is what you're limited to. So if you don't have all that in there, but more to the point, when you switch the frequency on the panel itself, you can see it blank and then switch over to it. So I don't think VRR is going to be technically possible, but the person that wrote that thread seems to believe it's possible. So I hope to be very wrong here. But yeah, they're also talking about boosting the panel. And they also said, when I said VRR won't be possible because Valve has already excluded some of these frequencies, right? We can't do 70 FPS. We can't do 70 hertz. So you can't do 35 FPS. So knowing that, he said, well, he doesn't believe that that's anything, and Valve just put it in there just because they wanted to validate a few things, but he's going to look into also opening those up as well. So that Reddit thread has a bunch of exciting news waiting to happen, or we'll just get updates on what's actually possible.
The thing to keep in mind is that the OG Steam Deck launched with a whole bunch of features missing, and those features got updated later, like the ability to change the refresh rate of your panel. Like, we didn't have that originally. I believe that Kyle put out Cryo Utilities, and then after he put out Cryo Utilities, Valve made an update that, I'm not going to say duplicated what he did, but like kind of mimicked one of the things that he did. I can't remember exactly what it is, and I wish Kyle were here, but he's busy today. So if it is possible and somebody does figure out how to do it, number one, I ain't doing it. Like, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm not experimenting on my OLED deck. I'm happy with it. Any experiments that I do are going to be on the LCD deck. I'm not doing it. But if somebody figures it out, and then Valve is like, we've seen that Valve can look at what other people have done and say, you know what, let's make that change. Or maybe they think of it at the same time, and it's just, you know, two trains running along tracks parallel to each other, and somebody gets there first. But if somebody can figure out how to do it, I think Valve can figure out how to do it safely. And if that's the case, having a variable refresh rate display, that would be fantastic to have on the Steam Deck.
Yep.
All right. Are we out of issues?
Yeah, I would love. I'd love 120 hertz would be amazing because of BFI or black frame assertion for retro gaming that like kind of mimics the CRT look. I'm actually working on a ROG Ally update video, just like a 6 month later video, and that's something I'll be showing off in that video. It's pretty neat, and I'd love to have that on the Steam Deck too.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Can you really quickly explain what black frame insertion is to the audience, Russ?
Yeah, so it basically introduces a flicker, so to speak. So every other frame will be a black frame. And, you know, to the human eye, it makes it look more like an old school display as opposed to the straight 60 hertz that we're used to. And so as a result, when you're playing something like Super Nintendo with BFI on, it's an option within RetroArch, it gives you a kind of a mixed feeling. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I don't. It really will depend on the shaders that you're using as well. Some CRT shaders will make it worse, but others will make it better. And so you can really get a very unique experience when you're at 120 hertz with certain handhelds, including the ROG Ally, and the Lenovo Legion Go is something that could probably do that as well. So pretty cool.
So I'm just curious, you know, you talk about these, the shaders and stuff. Shaders, that's the right, the things that make it look like a CRT. Yeah, I always leave that stuff off. I know it looks more authentic. It looks more like it did back in the day when you have that stuff turned on. I always turn it off because I would prefer that it looks better. Russ, are you somebody that uses those CRT shaders on the regular, or do you mostly leave them off?
It really depends. For like classic systems like NES, Super Nintendo, I don't actually use them. But for arcade, I want to go all in. So I'll do CRT, and then I'll also give it like the banding, like the bulbous kind of look to it as well, to make it rounded around the edges, because it just feels like I'm in an arcade at that point. So I really like that feeling, but I don't like it with Nintendo or Super Nintendo or stuff.
What about Game Boy, DMG?
Yeah, so Game Boy always will do like colorization, yes, and then throw on an LCD grid overlay, because I just got to have that. Like, it looks weird without it.
Yeah, it needs that. It's real crisp.
Really quick, two things. One thing for you, Russ. I don't know. Be careful when you're recording it. I also did a BFI video on the Ally a long time ago, and I wasn't anticipating people having almost seizures from what I was doing. Just be careful when you
know. Yeah. I haven't started filming yet, so that's good to know.
Yeah, I was showing it off. I was like, "Look, it's flickering," and people were like, "Oh, geez, you just blasted me," and I'm like, "Oh my goodness." let me I wasn't thinking about that at all, but yeah, BFI is really dope. The other thing that I want to talk about, Game Boy filter, this is something that I had talked about a long time ago, and this has to do something that actually is kind of brewing in the background for GameScope itself, is that GameScope will have reshade like filters coming down the pipeline. So having like a Game Boy filter via GameScope is something that is also technically already there. So like, it's on GameScope side, like dev side. So you can see that there's some reshade like stuff coming down the pipeline. So there's still more fun stuff coming for Steam Deck in general.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. Real quick, Jason left a comment. They said black frame insertion reduces motion blur to essentially zero.
Yeah, it looks really nice. It's so hard to describe. I need to watch more videos about it to like better articulate it. I can just look at it and be like, oh yeah, it feels older, like it feels nicer and more real than just throwing a shader on.
Yeah, it really needs to be felt to be appreciated. It's not something, it's very hard to demonstrate through video, like especially like, you know, like OLED, like look at this OLED panel that I'm recording right now. Look, doesn't it look amazing? And there's stuff that is lost through that translation layer. So it's something.
What device you said that the ROG Ally has BFI?
Anything that can go 120 hertz, so even a computer monitor, because it needs to have, you know, because the games run at 60 hertz, so you need 120 to put the black frame in between each. So you just go into RetroArch and change the settings. So
as soon as that video comes out, I'm watching the hell out of it, and I'm trying it so I can see what you guys are talking about. Before we move on, I want to say thank you to High Tech Low Life. They just sent in a $10 super chat. They said, "Hey, Esteem Pals, came by to show some support and finally came on time. A wizard is never late, High Tech." All right, just keep that in mind. Moving on. Rich, are we done with the issues, or are we just moving on to the chats that came in for the questions?
I think we should close out on the issues. Like, there are a lot of good questions, so I'll do a quick recap on the remainder of the issues, because I don't think we need to continue too far into this. So yeah. A couple more issues. The power LED is something that's been brought up. The power LED on the limited edition and how bright that can be. Valve is working on a fix for that. Some people are being booted into a recovery menu. This recovery menu is like a hidden recovery menu that's actually quite useful. It's a way to like fall back to a different update, to your previous update. But if you get booted into it and you have no way of getting out, it's really frustrating. You should be able to connect a wired keyboard to get past it. And then finally, if your Steam Deck is not powering external USB devices, the Deckverse posted something really helpful about that on Twitter, where you can go into the BIOS and change a setting so it can power your external USB devices, like external enclosure for your SSD or things like that. It's screens, right? In any case, the last thing I want to say about this is that if you are having an issue, definitely contact Valve support, right? Like, they are super helpful. Mm-hmm. So definitely contact them. See if that they can fix what's going on with your Steam Deck. And also, these things happen, right? Like, it is a new device. And so we are going to see things like this for a small amount of users. Keep posting about it, and hopefully it all gets resolved soon.
Senpai Lone Star said, any thoughts on Deck HD and future support, or is it dead? I mean, to me, it was always dead. I was never going to buy a higher resolution panel to put in my Steam Deck. I don't think you need to go higher resolution than 800p on a 7-inch screen. Russ, is it dead to you?
It's one of those where I'm the same thing, where I don't have any personal interest in it. I'm really happy with the screen that I have now. But I don't know. I kind of want the company to push it more, like to see what they can do next, you know? And so maybe they're going to have a Deck HD 2 or something for the OLED version. I don't know what they can improve at this point, because it's pretty amazing. But either way, yeah, I'd be interested to see what somebody else can come up with as well.
I'd like them to make an OLED panel that goes up to 120 hertz. That would be nice. I still wouldn't buy it and put it in my Steam Deck, but, you know, for other people. Is there anything that you want out of the from Deck HD, Kerry?
No. I was one of the first people that was like super negative on the Deck HD. Well, at least trying to be, like, I don't know, I guess not very realistic. Like, super negative.
Yeah, realistic's a better term, I think.
Yeah, I tweeted about it, and I got a few people that were just like, you know, well, they weren't fully grasping the situation, because, you know, going to 1200p on the Deck is kind of counterintuitive. You're paying money and doing a bunch of work to get a worse experience. It didn't make any sense to me at all. Like, it's a very, very limited use case where if you actually broke your screen, maybe you could consider buying it, because then you're replacing it and you have to replace it. So why not? I don't know. I never really found much value in that whole thing. At the very least, it should have been 1600p, because then at least you could have just did integer scaling and did 800p, and then you'd be in a better place. So 1200p was just like a weird, I don't know. I couldn't make sense of it, heads or tails of it. So it never made any sense to me to begin with.
Yeah, that makes sense. Christoph Gruber says, has anyone tried the JSOX vent backplate on the OLED? Does it still work with the changed fan? I don't think the whole internals are completely different. And because of that, I don't think that vent is going to be where it needs to be. Am I wrong about that? I think I saw Russ shaking his head a second ago.
No, I'm just saying I haven't used it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have either of you guys like looked into this at all?
No, but I did watch Taki Udon's glossy versus matte display video, and he covers the different back plates and the front shell as well. And he didn't actually put on that back plate, the one with the vent there for the fan, but he said the same thing, right? Just that it's in a different location now, and so it doesn't really make sense for the new Steam Deck OLED.
And plus, the thing to keep in mind is Valve designed the interior a certain way. If it needed to have an extra vent hole on the back, they would have put an extra vent hole on the back. This is how I feel with like those attachments where people are like, I'm going to hook a magnetic fan up to my Steam Deck in order to make it fan more or like cool faster. And yeah. I'm like, I don't think you need to do all that. And you're just making your stuff heavier for no reason. You got thoughts about that, Rich?
I was going to say, didn't they also, I feel like I remember from the Gamers Nexus video, didn't they also change the direction of the fan?
The OLED, yeah. Well, they turned it upside down so it spins the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Oh, that could cause problems.
Right. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like a good call to use that, I would say.
I agree with that. I agree with me, I guess, is what I'm saying. let's see. We already got that one. Let's see. Etched glass versus glossy. Mark says it isn't really that distinct unless you're playing outside. Why are you playing outside, Russ? Come back inside, you little goober. I like how he called you a little goober.
Mark's been leaving a bunch of comments, so I'm going to answer a couple of them. So one, he's asked about multiplayer emulation, so multiple controllers.
NFL Blitz.
So I'm going to do that later. I'm going to do an emulation on deck video. I'm kind of getting it all worked out. I spent all day yesterday ripping a bunch of PS3 games and getting them working on it. And my gosh, that is such a pain in the butt to do. Anyway, I've got them all running now, so I'll throw that in there. I'll check out NFL Blitz. I don't know if the arcade version will work. That's got a lot of emulation issues. I think MAME 2010 is probably the best for it. I'll try out a couple. I'll see what I can do. But obviously, like the GameCube, Nintendo 64 versions, those will work fine.
Fair enough. Good to know. But, you know, I saw people talking about, people are always holding up their Steam Deck in these videos. And I'm guilty of this, too. Pointing it at lights and being like, well, where the heck is the light? There we go. Pointing it at the light and saying, oh, look, see how well it diffuses the light? But the thing that that we really got to think about is the reflection of what you're seeing. All right. That reflection on the screen. Boy, this is kind of dusty looking. I'm a little embarrassed. I haven't touched it all weekend. All right. It's that reflection of what you're seeing.
Reflecting dust.
It's just lights. When you're just blasting lights on it, you don't see it. Like it, when you're just normally, you wouldn't see any of that dust, but only when you just like have all of our lights that we have. Oh no.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to be biased towards the anti-glare for that alone, right? We're in studio settings, so we've got bright lights. It's just easier to go anti-glare for me.
I don't know. I'm keeping my glare one. I'm getting rid of the
you are. Glare one. I was waiting to find out what your decision was. That's awesome.
I made the decision. Yeah.
Talk about that decision, Russ. Is it because you're outside or is it for other reasons?
I never go outside of my Steam Deck. So it is because, you know, I mostly play in the evening time and, you know, when I'm actually enjoying it, not in a studio setting. And in that use case, I can see a big difference in the sharpness of the text as well as like the lines and the graphics with the glossy one, so the 512 gigabyte version that I bought. And so I like that better. So I already bought a 2 terabyte hard drive. I'm going to put that in the 512 gigabyte one, and that's going to be my main Steam Deck. I'll just auction off the other ones for charity. And so that's the plan going into it. Even though for studio settings, like because I have my overhead lights, it's better to have the etched glass one just because I don't have as much glare and I don't have to deal with reflections as much. But I'm just going to have to work around that because I would rather use the glossy one in my own personal use.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as far as like for nerds like us who are dealing with studio lights and stuff, we just move our studio lights around when we're recording stuff. That's what I do anyway, in order to avoid glare. But I do appreciate the fact that reflections, not necessarily like the big lights or whatever, but, you know, reflections are reduced on the matte screen and over the glossy screen. That being said, I don't have the glossy screen. Like, I didn't go out and buy the glossy screen. Russ took one for the team and he's happy about it. I didn't go out and buy that glossy screen, so I can't really make a comparison. Carrie, you and Rich, you guys both got the limited edition one, not the glossy screen, so you guys can't really talk to it either, can you? Okay, yeah, that's the LE one. And then Carrie said no. Okay, so yeah, there it is. Cloudbusters wants to know, 120 hertz in docked mode. I don't have a screen that goes up to 120 hertz.
Yeah, it does. Even the LCD will do that.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Okay, so if you are hooking this up to 120 hertz display, then the Steam Deck, depending on what game you're playing, obviously, has the ability to push it to 120 hertz. I can't imagine you'd be playing many games at that, like, especially on a display. Like, it's going to look ugly. You know, because it's not like it's going to be pushing 4K or whatever. It's going to look, right. It's going to be like an 800 or 1080p at best, right?
Yeah, but you could do, you know, Hades, Cult of the Lamb. You could do those at 120 hertz. So
yeah,
Spelunky 2 at 120 hertz is amazing.
Oh yeah, I love that. Let's see. We already hit the Dead Pixels issue, and
I have a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Jared asked, this may have already been covered, but is burn-in a legit concern or totally overblown? So for that, I know, Kerry, you're sacrificing your Steam Deck. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, the one that Valve gave me. It's going to, I think I'm going to put it like right here or something. I'll just like have like it powered in the background. I'm talking with he works for Valve. There's like an app that I hope to get that should allow me to set HDR in varying levels. So I should be able to do like HDR 1000, 800, 500 or whatever. And we can kind of like step it down so that when we look at this and it'll be a still image, hopefully over time, what we can see is how bad any one of these actually affect the panel, because most likely what we're looking at is something, especially with the Samsung panel, is that we know that from Bob Wolf on Wolf Den, who has like murdercated his swoled, but it took forever, right? It took so long for a static 20,000 image.
Hours.
Yeah, like a ridiculous amount of time. But that isn't an HDR capable display. So with the ability to actually push something to HDR like luminosity to specific parts, and if we can qualify that, I think that's going to be an interesting use case. And I think myself and Bob Wolf are going to do it again, and he might do his same test, in which case it might be an SDR test, and I'm looking to do the HDR test. So between the both of us, we should cover both of them as well as possible, and I'll be doing, you know, monthly updates or whatever. But I hope to just have it like right here, right over there, so that every video I do, everyone kind of see what's going on.
So if you want to know what's happening, you need to watch every Fox video.
Yeah,
like, everyone. You don't have a choice. Bust out your jeweler's loop.
Yeah, just bust out that jeweler's loop that you got and just look at my video.
Fox is going to be... We all have paused ourselves at certain points, and you look like a moron every time that you're paused. Everybody does. Doesn't matter. And somebody's going to have you paused, and they're going to be zoomed in on your screen. I wonder how that screen is doing, waiting for you to put out your next video. Rich, what was the other comments that you wanted to add in there?
So also Jared, in that same one, he asked, could letterboxing on 16:9 games cause any issues? Wouldn't be burn in since those pixels are off. I just wanted to highlight from that post that a lot of people kind of forget that in 3.5 and SteamOS 3.5, you can actually stretch the screen. And I know for some people it's blasphemy, but for some people, for the people that for whom it's not blasphemy, it's actually pretty useful, right? To stretch out the picture so that you fill up the 16:10. It's not a huge stretch, so it's not too distorted. So just something to keep in mind that you have that option now in the latest SteamOS.
Awesome. Any other comments that you want to add?
You mean me?
No.
Some more.
Yeah, I meant you.
Okay. So
sorry.
Just another one from Jason. Jason asked, any of you retro gamers, I can't wait for the RetroTINK 4K. So I'm not getting that. I'm curious to see if you guys are. I want to hear more.
I want it. I want it so bad. Yeah, no, I want it so bad. And then that $750 price tag, like, right now, my credit card bill is astronomical, like not just outside of like what I've been like the Lenovo Legion Go, the Steam Deck LE and all the Christmas presents. And like I bought an iPhone 15. I shouldn't say that. There's other like there's stuff that I bought as gifts. Right. And they're just piling up. So it's like super, super like I look at my credit card bill and it's just the RetroTINK. I can't rationalize at the moment, but I desperately want it.
Russ, it has your name in it. So expensive.
Yeah, I'm torn. You know, when it comes to my original consoles, a lot of these are not in great shape. So I need to like do all sorts of work on them and I haven't yet. And so I don't think it would be worth it to put a RetroTINK up to these things because half the time they don't even play my cartridges. And so, I don't know. I'm torn on the whole idea. I'm going to be a wait and see kind of guy and see what kind of options come out with it. Cause I've got a Mr. Unbox still. I need to open it up and actually play around with it. I've got the Analog Pocket dock still in its box that I need to unwrap and everything else. So I have ways to connect it to a TV. It's not going to do all the wonderful RetroTINK upscaling things, but all the same, yeah, I don't know. I got a lot of, I worry if I buy it, it's just going to sit in a box for a couple of years while I get to it along with all the other things. So.
All right. Speaking of retro, just real quick before we move on from this, I don't know if we'll have time to really talk about it. I'm going to have a video coming out this week or next week about this thing. I got the Atari 2600 Plus. It is an Atari 2600 with an HDMI port on the back. Powered by USB-C, and the coolest thing about this thing is it plays Atari 2600 cartridges. Now, I think I'm the only person in the world that cares about this thing, because this was my first console, was my Atari 2600, and I went to the local game shop, got in the car, went down there, went fishing for some 2600 games. And this thing is way cooler than it has any right to be, because the 2600 was a bad system. Carrie's got one too. I got the big one, the old one is sit there behind me. Carrie, you a fan of the 2600? Are you going to get the Plus?
No, I'm not going to get the Plus.
It's too expensive.
If you take a look at mine, hopefully you can see like my autofocus works.
Here, let me zoom in on you.
What you can see right there is I have the RetroTastic not HDMI version, and it's a channel 3 version. You just you put your TV to channel 3 and then that works. That's what I got.
And that reminds me of, you know, you mentioned the letterboxing. This one has a button on the back. This is so weird. It has a button on the back to switch between 16:9. Where is it? To switch between 16:9 and 4:3.
That's cool.
Neat. So you just, it's a physical button that you flip back and forth. It's just so cool. I want Nintendo to put out stuff like this. I want Sega to put out a Sega Genesis with HDMI out. A Nintendo Entertainment System or a Super Nintendo with HDMI out. And I would probably buy it. And I would probably not use it all that much. But it would be cool to have.
Using real cartridges.
Yeah, it uses actual cartridges. Some of those, like, this one plays 2600 and 7800. And like I put the cartridges in and sometimes they would read and sometimes they wouldn't. And I'd have to take them out and reseat them again. It brought me right back to when I was a kid. What were you saying, Carrie?
No, I was saying, like, you were saying this stuff. You're like, Nintendo should recreate their old Nintendo or Super Nintendo that has HDMI out. I'm like, they did. But then I was like, oh, wait. You want something that has cartridges. I see. There's the qualifier. That's why I asked what I asked. Because I was like, no, they did that. I have it above me right now.
They sold the Raspberry Pi with HDMI out.
Yeah. It's like
in ROMs.
Like, yeah, it's right what here.
Okay, I got a question about, like, we're sitting here.
Where did he pull
and
that
Carrie's
out, bro?
Just like, I'm going to reach up and grab stuff.
Yeah. I should do a studio tour just so you guys can see all the stuff I got. It's a bunch of stuff.
Audio listeners, Carrie's. I'm sorry for the audio listeners that didn't get to experience Carrie's little magic trick that he just pulled. But go to the YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv, and watch. At the 53-minute mark, he reaches up and just a video game system. The exact one that we're talking about appears out of nowhere. I'm imagining that there's a person up there just waiting for him to say something, and then they hand it down to him.
It's his kids. Yeah. They're up in the loft. They're just like,
you kids want those Christmas presents? Well, you got to help dad during the show today.
That's right.
All right. Any other comments that you wanted me to throw up on screen while we talk about there, Rich?
There's a ton. I don't know how much we want to go on the questions or go on to the next topic. It's up to you.
Well, I love the questions. And if people are asking the questions, then we can absolutely answer them. Just, you know, if they're repetitious, we can skip them.
We can do a lightning round or something.
Yeah, lightning round real fast.
All right. What's the best dock for this new model of Steam Deck? Valve dock.
Official.
I only use the official one.
Yeah.
The official one also comes with a power charger. So that's like, it's more expensive, but it's worth it, I think.
Yeah. And it's got a price decrease. So it's $20 cheaper now, I think.
Deku just asked, does Windows run better? We talked about that earlier. The answer is no.
Has anyone encountered audio issue where after waking it, the audio is super low, even when cranked to the max? So I haven't, this is JSRPV and they asked this for the OLED specifically. I haven't encountered this for the OLED specifically, but I've always had like intermittent weird audio issues with the Steam Deck. So like every once in a while, every like 50th resume or 100th resume, I'll just have weird audio and I'll have to restart and it'll be back to normal. So yeah, I've had that.
I kind of ran into a similar issue where it wasn't that on resume, but like I was playing a game and I was like, did it just get quieter? And then I turned it back up and like the little UI indicator didn't pop up on screen that was showing that it was turning down. But for some reason I felt like it had gotten quieter. And so then I turned it back up while I was playing. Carrie, did you just say, yeah, like, have you run into that?
No, I haven't. I've been playing on it a bunch. I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 because I'm like, I'm going to play this game. This is a game that I love. I played on the early access and I know the new one came out. So I've just been playing through it. I haven't experienced anything, but I have been using standby all the live long day over the weekend. Haven't had any issue.
All right. Cool. Anything else that you want to hit before we move on to the next thing, Rich?
Maybe the last big one is how long is it going to be available? This is from Turco Perco. I assume that is in reference to the limited edition. And we don't know. They said it's going to be limited inventory, but also that if it's a success, that we'll see more colorways. So it's unclear how long that'll last. It is still on sale now, which I didn't expect. So
I think, because if you go to their website, it says Steam Deck OLED 2023 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think when they say limited edition, because you can still buy it, right?
Yeah.
I think limited edition means at the end of 2023, they stop selling this, and then they have the limited edition 2024 and the limited edition 2025 that's only available. This is the kind of thing Nintendo is so good at. They just keep getting people to buy Switches over and over and over again, and that's what Valve is doing here, I think. I don't know that for a fact. It just makes sense to me. You guys, you know, Carrie, Rich, you guys bought the OLED 2023 limited edition. If there's a new one next year, I'm gonna qualify this. It's not purple, Carrie.
Yeah.
If there's a new one next year that's not purple, will you buy it?
I mean, when you were saying this, I literally felt my wallet like trying to escape out of my, you know, like, he's like, get out of this pocket. He's going to use this again. Quickly run away.
What about you, Rich?
I've never been this like a collector person, so I don't think so. In fact, I'm trying to figure out which do I need. I have 4 Steam Decks. That's way too many. I don't want them. I don't need that many. So I'm trying to figure out how do I consolidate, meaning do I pick one Steam Deck to stick with or two, and then which one? So like my base thought right now is that I'm going to have one OLED and one LCD if I need to test anything for the channel. But maybe testing on the LCD isn't even that important for the channel because a lot of other people are going to be testing that as well. So do I need to hold on to an LCD for that reason? I don't know yet. So I'm thinking about all of that. The limited edition looks beautiful. I think I want to stick with the base one. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I think I'm just going to stick with the OG because it's more adaptable to different, like if I'm going to do thumbnails, things like that, I can adapt it to anything. Whereas the LE is like a specific look. It's translucent black and orange. So just more practical, I think, is for me to stick to the OG. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick up any more, even if it's atomic purple. I hope that Valve in the future does like, not repair kits, but just replacement kits, right? You can buy the case, you can buy the analog stick if you want to do it. I know not everybody wants to do that, but that'd be nice.
Oh, you mean like on iFixit, have the orange controller sticks if you want?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that would
one
be
thing
really cool. Go ahead.
One thing I said in my review is I hope they do what Xbox does with their design lab for the Xbox controllers, where you can design colorways however you want. So then this way they don't have to worry about, you know, whatever, anything they can do. Just make your own Gundam model Steam Deck or whatever.
I would love that. I think that it's more profitable to keep putting out new ones, right, because there's going to be a certain subset of the user base that just buys all of them.
Yeah.
I'm not totally one of those people, but they will.
Oh yeah. Like, dude, if they made like a Portal limited edition one that was, it's like, ah, you just had to take money from me.
See, I am the total opposite. I like, they can't do anything that's just like some sort of hardware change that is going to inspire me to buy it, because I'm just fine with like just putting a skin on it. Like, look, I got a red Steam Deck now. You know what I mean? Like, it's great, you know, and then I can change this out and they're like $10 each. And so I've just been doing that. I went on Dbrand and I bought like 10 different skins all at once. And then so every once I, you know, every few months, I'm like, ah, time for a change. And then I'll just change out the skin and it's like a whole new Steam Deck. That's just fine for me. I'm not all about like making hardware changes. Oh yeah, you got the X-ray one. That looks good.
The X-ray skin.
That does look really nice.
And for a limited time, this is not an ad, but for a limited time, they're selling it where it's $29.95 and you get both the dark mode and the light mode.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's very cool. I didn't know about that. I don't think I'm going to buy it. I like that it's just black and the OLED is just black, so that like when it's off, the screen just vanishes. When the pixels are off, it just vanishes. And that's like one of the things that I was thinking about when I decided not to get the limited edition one, was like, I like that it's black on black. I think it just looks really, really good. We had a super chat come in from Hardy. They said, my question is, what does everyone have on their Steam Deck desktops and how would you improve Linux desktop experience on deck if you could? I don't use Linux desktop at all, ever. I go in there to install EmuDeck and then I leave and never go back. Russ, anything that, like, do you use it at all?
I just have EmuDeck on the front of it. And yeah, I just go in, you know, every few days and just update all my emulators and stuff before I'm going to start a gaming session. There was a time when I had a shortcut link to like my save files, specifically for Tears of the Kingdom, because I was having an issue with Yuzu at the time where every once in a while it would just lose my save game. And so I was backing it up every day onto Google Drive. Now they've got cloud saves available if you're a patron member on EmuDeck. So it actually fixes that for you. But other than that, yeah, I just go in there, make my updates, and get the heck out of Dodge. And so that's it.
Carrie, I know you're not a Linux guy, so probably you don't really use it all that much, right?
I am a Linux guy, but I don't I don't use Linux desktop. I use server Linux more than anything. But to your point, I would probably use Linux desktop more. There is an update that I'm aware of that's coming that will effectively put desktop inside of GameScope. So there isn't like a full on ka-chunk to go into desktop mode. You literally just whoop, flip right into desktop mode. Oh. So it's seamless. Once they do that, at that point, I think I'm going to start using desktop mode more, because then flipping between your game and desktop mode should be like a computer is. And that's going to be, I think, a big step. There's a Deki plugin that already does this as well. Yeah. And it's dope. So once it's officially there, I think I'll start using it a bit more. But until then, yeah, I'm like you guys. I use it as a console. Like the Steam Deck, I use as a console. It operates as a console for me. So up until then, where it's seamless to switch, I don't use it all that much.
All right. And then we got one super chat that came in from Matthew Langley. Thank you guys for the super chats. You guys are awesome. They said, is the OLED upgrade worth it if you mostly play Super Nintendo and Genesis era emulation? I mean, if I were just going to play Super Nintendo and Genesis era emulation, I wouldn't even buy a Steam Deck for that. I would buy what's the thing that I bought, Russ?
Miu Mini.
You bought the Miu Mini.
Yeah, the Miu Mini Plus. The Miu Mini Plus. The thing is fantastic, and I love it for that, and it's really tiny and can fit in your pocket.
Yeah, I will say that for me, you know, I'm big retro guy. Like half my day is filled with playing retro games. I don't play anything below GameCube and PS2 on my Steam Deck. Like I just use other devices for it just because it's a little bit more fitting. I don't know. It's just something about the roundedness of the back grips and then playing a Nintendo or Super Nintendo game on it just feels like I'm squeezing, you know, a square peg into a round hole kind of thing. And so I personally don't, I don't know. I mean, if you really enjoy it, you have the LCD panel and you love playing Super Nintendo Genesis on it, it's going to look better. You know, you have the OLED display, but I don't know. I don't think that's worth $550 plus to get that experience.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the one advantage that you have when you're playing on a Steam Deck instead of like the Miu Mini Plus, which I'll put a link down below if you guys want to check it out, the screen is just so much bigger. So like that is a huge advantage when you're playing like these old games is like the screen is a bigger screen, but it's just not nearly as portable. So there's that. All right. I was about to move on and then Mark just sent in another super chat. And that says, I'm trying to move something out of the way. You guys finally able to tell these good people a great on deck picks for the Steam sale, or are we going to keep spinning our wheels? All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about
the,
that.
Don't forget the GoDaddy's Go.
GoDaddy's Go.
Daddy? Where the
oh,
daddies?
I didn't even see. Oh, there it is. I did not even see that. GoDaddy's Go. I don't know what that means. Is that another thing that I don't know? Is that like the cap?
No, he's just
just because we're old. Yeah. Okay, I get it. all right, Rich. Did you spend any money at the sale?
Not yet. I will do a last minute purchase today. But my latest video does give 10 recommendations. Basically I'll rapid fire a couple of real quick here. Talos Principle 1 is only $3. If you like first person puzzlers, go get Talos Principle. Like it's one of the best games ever. If you like puzzlers, Pizza Tower is one of the best games of the year. It's a 2D platformer. Everybody's into Pizza Tower. If you're not into Pizza Tower, you're not my friend. I'm sorry.
I'm not into Pizza Tower. I haven't played it yet, so that's the only reason.
Then you're not my friend.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's 25% off, which isn't a big discount. But again, it's also historical low. It's just that it just came out this year. So do look into that. If you don't pick it up, just put it on your wish list for next time. One more. I'll give you one more. Let's see. Huntdown. I'm gonna go Huntdown. 2D action platformer, kind of like Mega Man meets Bloodborne. Not Bloodborne. Blackthorn. Excuse me. So yeah, that's a good one. I love that one.
Awesome. I picked up. There's a bundle that has Risk of Rain. I don't know if the first one's in it, but it has Risk of Rain 2, Risk of Rain 2 DLC, and Risk of Rain redone or something like that. It's the first game made over again. And I picked that up because my son came upstairs and he said, "Hey dad, here's some money. I want to buy these games on Steam." And then he went downstairs and was playing them. And then he texted me and he was like, "You should buy these so we can play together." And I was like, "All right, fine. Twist my arm." So I ended up picking that up so that we could play. And then he came up, he was playing on his Legion Go, and I was playing on my Steam Deck over there, and we were just sitting there and like, "We can't find the portal. Where's the portal?" And we're looking everywhere for the portal, and we couldn't find it. We ended up getting killed. But that game is really, really good, and I think you get all that for $33, which is a really, really good deal. Russ, did you pick up anything that was on sale?
I did. I already had a couple of the games you guys already talked about, but I do recommend them as well. I picked up Dave the Diver because I've heard so many things about it. I ended up only playing about the first 20 minutes of it, and I don't really like it. It's at the point where it's like resource management, you know, like having to work at a restaurant. Like I don't want to pay money to play a game where I'm working. It's just like the way I play games, you know? And so it's not a great fit. I got to probably give it more time, but I wasn't digging it initially. But one game I did test out and try is called Xenotilt. And so this is a pinball game. So kind of like the old school ones. And it is great. It's I bought it for $13 the other day, and it's really fun. Only thing about it is that it's so fast and hectic, and the ball is a little bit small that I lose it sometimes. Like when I'm watching, I can't catch up. And so that's the only thing that's kind of been a little bit of a miss for me, but 90 hertz on the OLED deck has been pretty amazing. And so that's the big game I picked up. I also got like the latest Destiny DLC, but I haven't tried that one out yet. So,
yeah. So I haven't played Xenotilt, but I played the first game that they that dev put out, Demon's Tilt, and it's it's just a different themed game basically. And oh my God, does that game look gorgeous on the OLED display, because there's a lot of like really, really dark stuff in that with like right next to super bright colors. And that just makes everything pop on that game. So that's a really good recommendation, Russ. And I'm probably going to have to pick up Xenotilt today, because that dev does some really good stuff. And there's just not enough awesome pinball games out there. Carrie, did your credit card wallet jump out of your pocket during the autumn Steam sale, or did you hold fast?
I did buy a few things, but because I have too many games, there's a what I do is I use a site called gg.deals, and you can log in with your Steam profile and hide all the games that you already purchased, and then sort by historical lows. So it'll only show you the apps like the price for that game has ever been. And then you can sort and do a whole bunch of other things. So I did pick up a few different ones. I did actually pick up Baldur's Gate 3 because I had the GOG version, but I didn't want to install and do all the nonsense in the background. So I just bought it again on Steam. So now I'm just playing directly on there, and it's just been way better, especially for save management and stuff. That alone was worth it. The other game that I picked up was Cleo, A Pirate's Tale. That's like $1.50, and it's like a cute little point-and-click adventure game, but it's the cheapest it's ever been. It's a tiny little game, runs perfectly fine forever on the Steam Deck. So those are like the types of things that I would suggest, is if you're looking for something where you're not going to feel like, oh, I shouldn't have bought that game because, you know, you find out in a month or so it got a bigger discount or whatever. If you sort by historical lows, you won't ever feel that. But then this is a very specific problem, right? Like, I have way too many games, so that's an issue I have to deal with.
You have like over 10,000, right?
Yeah, I'm up there.
He's sitting there. He's like that meme. Y'all got any more of them games?
Yeah. Start pulling them down from the ceiling.
They're digital. This is the only thing saving us, is that they're digital, so he can't do that.
It'll be like Steam cards. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost at 11,000 now. I'm at 10,948.
Oh my God. That's great. Wait, listen, man, you got to get to that nice round number.
Honestly, I slowed down a lot after I got over 9,000, because once I was like in 7,000, 8,000, I was like, well, at this point I just have to do it for the memes. So, I just wanted to have
9,000.
Yeah. Just so that people, when they look at my profile, they could always just go, it's over 9,000. The only problem with that is that, once Valve delists games, it removes the number on the public number. So if you look at my public number, it's like 9,400 games that I own. So there's like 1,000 or so games that I own that have been delisted, that you can no longer buy on Steam, but they're still in my library, obviously.
All right, well, let's move on to the next topic, and I think we're going to have to do this one pretty quick because it's already been over an hour for the show. I want to hit Legion Go update really quick, because they have, in the new firmware update that's coming, they've added an option to switch memory frequency from 6400 megahertz up to 7500 megahertz. I am not like that. This stuff is not my wheelhouse, but Valve said that faster memory allows their CPU to go to sleep faster, saving them battery on the Steam Deck. A layperson like myself looking at this might think, okay, increasing the memory frequency up to 7,500 megahertz, would that make the battery life better on the Legion Go?
Carrie? So a few things. My Legion Go is already running at 7,500 megatransfers. Is the update to downclock to 6,400 megahertz transfers, or?
It says it's an option to switch between the two. So maybe it's the option to toggle, basically.
Yeah, the option to go down to 6,400 megatransfers. Yeah.
Do you by chance have the beta also? So like, do you have 6 gigabyte VRAM option or no?
I did download the beta BIOS, but I did not install it on my Legion Go, just because there's a bunch of stuff. And even like I have to like rush to get a video out for tomorrow that's not Legion Go. So there's like a bunch of stuff that I'm just trying to like get across the finish line. I haven't been looking at the Legion Go a lot lately. But the only reason that they would implement going to 6400 megatransfers is for certain stability reasons. And that has to do with typically with AMD's 7840U or even the Z1E, where on the Zen 4 CPUs, going over 4.3 gigahertz on using 7500 megatransfers can introduce a weird instability. So going down to 6400 megatransfers will allow you to upclock on frequency, but that's not super valuable on a gaming handheld. So I'm not sure why they would have it unless people are just having problems in general and they're just including it for stability reasons.
Okay. They did also say that they're looking to add fan tuning. So basically custom fan curves, which I think a lot of people have been asking for. I personally don't really care about Legion Space, but if they update it to make it, maybe I will care about it eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see, he says. all right. Do we want to hit anything else before we get out of here, guys? Look at the show notes. See if there's anything in there that you guys want to talk about before we wrap up. All right. It looks like that's a no. So real quick, I want to say for the Patreon listeners, we usually have like pre-show stuff, but we didn't have time today to do any pre-show stuff. So this is the like you're going to get the whole show and there's not going to be any extra after that. I apologize for that. We'll get you next time. If you are interested in joining our Patreon, you can find that at the link in the description. We'll take you there. And Rich, tell us about your next video.
Ooh, so my next video, I'm finally getting to the PS Portal review. That should be almost set to go, hopefully tomorrow. So yeah, that should be out tomorrow. And I just dropped the news video that talked about Wake on Bluetooth and other things, including some of these warnings that we talked about today. So that's out now.
Awesome. Real quick, my PS Portal, I decided to just return it. They wanted to charge me money to send it to for repair after they sent it to me broken. So after being on the phone with people for like 3 hours or something, finally I said, you know what? Screw you people. I'm just sending it back. And I'm still waiting to get my money back, but it's been returned and accepted. And now I'm just I'm waiting. So I just wanted to give people an update on that because I said that I would. Russ, what's your next video, man?
So I'm doing a 6 month later video on the ROG Ally. There's a lot to cover, surprisingly. The company actually reached out to me and sent me a beta of their new, I was about to say IS Space, but their Armory Crate software. Mm-hmm. And I'm not allowed to show it. They said, oh, you can't show it until the 29th. But we just got an email during the show and they said, it's actually working really well. You can start showing it tomorrow. I'm like, well, I'm not going to have the video ready by tomorrow. So I'll have a video on the 29th with the new beta software, which allows for gyro support and a couple other things. So I am looking forward to that. And I'll show off a couple emulation things and just like my general use case over the past 6 months with the ROG Ally, which still remains my favorite Windows handheld. So.
Awesome. Carrie, nice. Is the ROG Ally your favorite Windows handheld?
No. Yes. I would say it is. It's the one that I would recommend most people get if they were going to enter into a Windows gaming handheld. Like, I use my WinMax 2 all live long day. But that's not
what I thought he was going to say. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one I use. That's not the one I would generally recommend. It's just going to have a much easier time on the Asus ROG Ally. That's generally what I recommend for a host of reasons, which I am going to be talking about in my next video as well, because Russ and I both got that beta. So I will also be talking about Gyro Goodness officially supported, and I'll be able to show it to you. And yeah, I got the email as well. And it's like, yeah, you can do it the 28th. And I was like, that's a day earlier than you said so. So I'm going to get that done. And make that video as well. So Russ and I will basically have similar videos, but different takes.
I'm sure. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. So if you are listening to this on your favorite podcast player, make sure that you go in there and rate it 5 stars or whatever is the best, because that helps out. And then head on over to the YouTube channels and subscribe to all of them. YouTube.com/NerdNest, Retro Game Core, Fan the Deck, the Fox, PHAWX. Make sure that you subscribe to all of those guys. And make sure you check out Kyle's channel too. He's not here with us today, but he's part of the podcast. It's CryoByte 33. And if you're watching this on the YouTube channel and you really want to help us out, subscribe to the podcast as well. It'll download to your device. You can listen to us while you're doing the dishes or whatever. And it would just be awesome if we could have, if everybody who watches the show also subscribe to the podcast, it would be bananas. But that's it for today's episode of the Nerd Nest podcast. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. And we will all see you next time. Until then, stay rad, everybody. Bye-bye.